Want to bang that gavel for me? The March 21st, 2011 meeting of the Chicago State Board of Trustees is hereby called to order. Ms. Wheeler, will you call a roll?
Trustee Lazar.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Here.
Trustee Samuels.
Here.
Trustee Kerr.
Yes.
A quorum exists for business of the board to begin. Ms. Wheeler, will you certify that the notice for this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act 5 Illinois CS 120-02A?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the meeting notice requirement has been met.
All right, I think we have a few action items. Mr. Neal?
I have a correction to the previous minutes. Previous minutes say that I was not present, and then it says that I started the meeting. So I'm pretty sure I was here. You could just correct that. I'd really appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, well, pursuant to that correction, is there a motion? Is there a motion to approve the previous meetings?
Yeah, so moved.
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Trustee Kerr.
Yes.
Trustee Lazar.
Yes. Thank you. We do have action items. Is that council will read those? A through C?
Yes. First item after approval of the minutes is item B, bereavement leave regulations. And there is a resolution that effect. Dr. Williams, did you want to address that one?
It's Renee.
Renee.
The bereavement.
Good afternoon, board. The resolution on bereavement leave is actually to reduce some of our expenses. The current bereavement leave, as it reads today, states that an employee can receive 3 days of bereavement for aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, mother, father, grandparents. And what we found is a lot of abuse had occurred with cousins and aunts and uncles. We could not actually document that individuals were taken off for 3 days for an actual cousin, aunt, or uncle, because when we receive documentation, as you know, with many obituaries, it states as a host of cousins at the bottom. But we were having individuals take cousins 2 or 3 times a month. And we saw a pattern with those three relationships. And so the language also indicated that the bereavement leave was to take place from the date of the occurrence, and so from the date of death. So to compromise with a lot of the unions, we agreed to take 3 days around the occurrence of the death and or around the funeral. So if an individual died on Monday, for instance, they may be able to use Tuesday as a grief day, and then if the funeral took place the following week, they would still have 2 more days. But what we eliminated in the language, so we added that in the language to be more flexible around the time they can use it, but we eliminated aunts, uncles, and cousins.
Any questions?
Your point of information, this bereavement leave policy will have no application to the faculty that's currently under negotiations.
Thanks.
And added clarification, I also should have mentioned we eliminated nieces and nephews. Nieces and nephews, aunts, uncles, and cousins.
And when it says the funeral, that would also mean a memorial service, if there was a memorial service instead of the funeral? Or
yes.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board? Is there a motion to approve this resolution?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Lucia?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Abstain.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
That is a majority. Counsel Neal?
Yes, the item C on the agenda, action items, is revised board regulations. We are amending our bylaws to actually make it clear and provide definitions to the committees of this board, and we are asking that you find that we, as a structure, we have four committees: finance, academic affairs, facilities, legislation, human resources, that's five, and any ad hoc committees that may be necessary, that may the board may deem appropriate to create, to handle special issues or special matters which come up before the board. This cleans up the bylaws, it makes it clear, it provides definitions of what each board is to do, and we're eliminating the executive committee from the board, which has not functioned, I don't think, in the past, and that's what this attempts to do.
Thanks.
Mr. Chairman,
any questions?
In order for this to be discussed in some sort of confined parameters, I move this this resolution, and if there's a second, then maybe some other people want to discuss it, but I'd like to try to get it before the body. So I move.
Second.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
That is a majority. We'd like to have the president's report.
Yes, sir. First item on the president's report is one of a discussion or proposal to the board, and that is going forward, and probably would not start until the next fiscal year, I'd like to set up the president's report and I'd give the board a proposal that would be set around metrics. It would be dashboards. What has happened, what I've seen for the last year and a half, it's pretty much a running narrative of everything that has happened in the university at the most minute level. And there are some very key metrics that I think that the board might be interested in with regards to the university. This is usually, number of universities are now doing this through a dashboard. It would be available through the computer, but it would also be a key part of the president's report. And these would be key metrics that the board of trustees agrees upon that they want to see on a quarterly basis, and key metrics that HLC is measuring us on, key metrics that all the various accrediting and sanctioning bodies would be looking for us to achieve. So it is a proposal, it's a verbal one now. I will give you something specific in the near future, but probably not to be implemented until first semester of the next academic year. Going on with the current format of the president's report, the we are currently in the process of working with the Southern Illinois University. There's a proposal that the state is presenting called Compete America. Chicago State University is will be working with Southern Illinois University and helping us to complete our research and our data analysis. This is something that I want to make the board aware of. It is extraordinary for another university to come in and work with us, but it appears as though the data and the data bank that we have within our university has quite a bit of work that has to be done. And Illinois Board of Higher Education, ISAC, and Southern Illinois University have all three agreed to come forward and help us, and they are also going to help pay for the individuals that will help come from Southern Illinois University to Chicago State to help us do this research. I don't know if the board is aware, but we do not, the research staff that Chicago State had is no longer with us, and we just recently, within the last month, hired one person, but that person is too new to have a major impact. So we're reaching out to one of our sister institutions in the state, unprecedented, and they will work with us to help us complete this report. Next item is it's pretty much combined with the enrollment, retention, and graduation report. The three key elements that the university is looking at right now is enrollment, retention, and graduation. And for this academic year, we have a 2.1% increase in our overall enrollment. This has now been sustained for a year and a half. In terms of our retention, we hit an 83% retention rate from fall to spring, and a 63% retention rate from fall to fall for first-time, full-time freshmen. Both of these are beyond anything, our new achievements that the university has achieved. Give a lot of credit to the faculty and the staff for working in a very cooperative way to ensure that we have the retention that we have. This retention rates of this level will, without a doubt, ensure that we have a better graduation rate in the future. But also, I want to state that it is our goal to increase our retention rate from fall to fall. We're not going to be satisfied with 62%, and we are putting strategies in place to address that. The next item
What is our goal?
You know, that we're working out. We have an enrollment retention graduation committee, and we have faculty and staff identify the goal for us, and then they will make that recommendation to me, and I will bring it back. I would like to see a 90% goal, but we have to do something that is realistic, but more important, or equally as important, I want to get the benefit of the input from our faculty and our staff who have been here for decades, so that we come up with something that is realistic and something that is within our reach.
Are we benchmarking other institutions?
Yes, we are. Yes, yes.
Because what we've been doing for the last decades, I don't think is necessarily should be what we should be trying to do.
No, and we have exceeded what we've done from the past, trustee. Yes, we have. But we're not pleased with that. The achievement that we've made, we believe we can do much better, and we will do much better. So that's retention. In terms of graduation, we have put strategies in place now for the last year. And the strategies that we've put in place, everything from academic support to offering of classes, advising with our faculty advisors, and bringing the Office of Evaluation into play in a way that they have never been involved in a university before. And that is working with the cohort of 2005, identifying each student and ensuring that those students have both the academic support, the tutoring, and the courses that is, and the financial assistance that is needed in order to graduate. As a result, we are strategies in place, we are projecting, operative word is projecting, and this is as of a week ago, having talked with each one of the students and looking at their records, we are projecting a 20% plus graduation rate
for Chicago State. If you will remember, last year's graduation rate was, I think, 14%, and that was for 6 years. And the one before that, I think, was like 12.6%, or vice versa. I forgot which one. One was 14 and one was 12. But we're going to hit 20% plus this coming May, assuming that our students pass their classes. I see Lori has her fingers crossed. Assuming that our students pass their classes, and we're identifying, we're working with each student in terms of seeing where they are at midterm. Is that right, Nat? Is that not right, Provost? Seeing where we are with our students and providing appropriate tutoring to help them get through. So this will be a major accomplishment for the university. I give a lot of credit to the faculty, to staff, for this accomplishment. And that is, no, I'm sorry, there are two other items. In terms of NCAA, Chicago State University will appear before the NCAA Committee on Academic Performance at a hearing on April 26. It is important that the board is aware of this. The hearing has been convened to address the limited academic progress of the men's basketball team as measured by its APR. The APR measures student athletes' eligibility, performance, and retention as indicators of eventual graduation rates. The NCAA requires that teams have an APR equal to or above 925 to avoid penalties. Our men's basketball team has a single-year APR of 891 and a multi-year score of 823. As a result, the university faces penalties of postseason competition, occasion 3 penalties, and limited Division I status, occasion 4 penalty, based on historical academic performance. The university has applied for a penalty waiver based on unique circumstances that contributed to the subpar APR. Both athletics and academic representatives will make a presentation and field questions from the committee regarding the university's comprehensive plan to improve the APR of all the athletic programs falling under the APR penalty structure. The committee will render its decision within 21 days of the hearing. The university has 7 days to appeal any adverse decision. It is important that the university is aware of this because this can have major impact on our university. They have mandated that the president of the university be in attendance at this meeting in Indianapolis. This goes back from 2006 to present date in terms of what has taken place. It is serious.
What are the potential penalties?
Well, if you notice, I stated that we are trying to get the penalty lifted. If we're able to get it lifted, we will be able to offer more scholarships. Right now, our men's basketball team has 11 scholarships. They did have 12 scholarships they can give. And there's a potential of it going down to 10 also, and the loss of potentially 2 scholarships. Okay, the last one is the...
No postseason competition, President. No
postseason competition. Oh, I'm sorry. And it also can affect no postseason competition. That's an occasion 3 penalty. And could eventually lead to loss of Division I status. So I did not want this to be taking place and the board not be aware of it.
Any questions on that?
Pardon me?
Any questions before the president moves on that? I think it's pretty clear.
Okay.
Best of luck on that visit.
Thank you. Next one.
Ducks in a row.
The athletics program is up for recertification as a Division I team. The self-study report is due on April 26th also. A draft copy of the finding is posted on CSU webpage. The committee conducting the study has revealed some administrative issues that we are creating plans for, and we are creating plans for improvement and to correct the issues that we have found. We are hopeful that the recommendations identified by the sub-study committee will allow us to be recertified without conditions. The NCAA will make its determination in February 2012 after a site visit in September of this year. This is for our recertification of Division I. It's a university-wide committee that is composed of Judge Bush, how many people are on that?
We have five subcommittees, total of about 52 people working on the subcommittees. It's cross-discipline, it's faculty, administration, and students, and athletes. And it's a process that is a sub-study, putting together a program. It's a 10-month process, which we're going to finish in April, which requires us to go in and do a thorough look at the athletics department and make and write a report. The report is going to be in excess of 300 pages. We have placed it on the website for you to review as a draft. So if you want to find out what some of the things that we saw and some of the things that we're looking at, you can go and on the website and see the draft of the report. The final report will be completed April 26th, after which we will have our site visit and corrections and whatever else they recommend.
I would like to commend Judge Bush for what she's done in terms of pulling this together. We have identified issues that were very serious. But I also want to say that the subcommittees have rolled up their sleeves and they have really attacked these issues. We're documenting them. We're setting up new processes, new policies, new administrative logistics to ensure that they do not recur. And the committee has really, really needs to be commended. This committee is made up of faculty, is made of staff throughout the university, and students.
Thanks, President.
Yeah, welcome. That's my report.
Thanks, President. We'll move to reports. Start with Trustee Hill.
Yes, well, the academic and Student Affairs Committee met this morning. We have one action item, which is the proposed granting of an honorary degree to Mr. James Tyree. This process has been in the works for some time, and all the members of the board and the university community are saddened at his death this past week, and so we would like to move and recommend that the degree be granted at the May commencement posthumously. So I move that we adopt the recommendation and the resolution as presented.
And do you need a second? Second.
Probably move and second it.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Finney? Oh, sorry. Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
And then we, President Watson did not get a chance to touch base on one of his topics, and Trustee Hill, if it's okay with you?
I think he's already covered that
okay.
to some
there
degree
no more
in his
specifics
report,
you want to go through?
Unless there are any other questions on enrollment, retention, and graduation.
The only correction is that I stated that that the Hispanic goal was 40%. I was in error. If you look at your report on the second page, it states that the Hispanic goal for 2011 is 19%. The other goals are also listed, 50 and 100%. And it also gives the actual numbers. Without a doubt, we're going to push beyond 19%.
What page is that on? I'm sorry.
That's page 2 of the report.
I don't know if I have
page 17.
Report.
17 of the original report.
Thank you.
There should be a grid there.
Yeah.
So a correction, 19%.
Okay.
Should be 19.
It should be 19.
So President West, tell me what the correction was now, it's in front of me.
I had earlier stated that the goal for increasing our diversity, and more specifically Hispanic students, was 25 to 30%.
Okay, got it.
And this clearly states it's 19%. I was talking from memory, and then when I looked, I saw.
And Dr. Finney also asked what the actual numbers were, and if I'm looking at this correctly, what the goal is an increase of 16 students.
Correct.
From that population, so that sort of gives us everybody a.
Got it.
An idea of what the numbers are we're talking about.
Okay, excellent. Were there any questions on that report? You good, Trustee Hill? Okay. I'm going to speak for Trustee Scott in terms of the Finance and Audit Committee, which met earlier today. There were a number of resolutions, I believe there were six. I'll just high level touch on some. The key were the housing fee increase, which was a 5% increase, which was down from 8% from the previous year. Also, the undergraduate tuition increase was 3%, graduate was 10. Both of those again, or the undergraduate was down from the previous year. The Upward Bound program, which was wonderful, we're actually, we were asked to approve accepting the grant that we got there, which was in excess of $500,000. And then we had two other facilities-related issues in terms of procurement for telephone maintenance as well as professional services contract. Is there a motion to approve these resolutions?
The audit charter.
Can we do them all together?
Pardon?
Can we do them all together?
We can do them all together.
Okay. I move that we adopt all of these.
The audit charter?
Oh, and the audit charter.
That was E.
That was E.
He didn't include that in his.
Yes.
He started with the housing.
A.
So I move that we adopt the resolutions related to the internal audit charter, the housing fee increase, undergraduate and graduate tuition and fee increases, the Upward Bound program, the emergency procurement for telephone maintenance, and the professional services contract for federal relations services.
Is there a second?
I second.
It's been properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Trustee Kerr.
Yes.
The Facilities Committee, there were three resolutions in the meeting that just preceded this, and which had to do with the baseball field project, the campus electrical upgrade, and repairs to this building, the academic library.
Next committee that met was Facilities. Trustee Finney.
Yes. We have three resolutions, Mr. Chairman, dealing with the baseball field project, campus electrical upgrade, and academic library repairs. All of these matters were voted and approved by the subcommittee on, or the board committee, I should say, on Facilities, and I'm prepared to move their adoption. If you choose to adopt them seriatim, you know, seriatim, if not, I would recommend and move that we adopt them as a whole.
Is there a second?
I second.
Properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Trustee Kerr.
Yes.
Trustee Hill, Civil Service Merit Board.
The Civil Service Merit Board met. There were a couple of appeals of dismissals, which we dealt with one week. He did actually ask the university to reinstate the person with a 60-day unpaid leave, and the other one we upheld. The other topic of some lengthy discussion was the process of declaring exemptions from civil service, and apparently over the last several years, the universities have actually made their own determinations using the criteria of the Civil Service Merit Board. The UIC had started routinely just exempting pretty much everybody, and so they had about 75% of the audited positions were, should have been civil service and weren't, they were, had been exempted. And this caused a lot of consternation. They have since put some, a lot of, really changed their whole process, and they have some different tools in place now. And we ended up feeling that, subject to, you know, review at our next meeting, that no additional requirements. People had suggested that all of the universities be required to submit and get approval for any exemption from having positions be within civil service, and we felt that that was probably over cumbersome. There was actually some legislation that was submitted at last session that would have done that, and but we think that given the fact that there was only one university that was really egregiously out of line, everybody, there were certainly errors other places, but not to that degree that, so that was, that's how that was resolved.
Was it?
That's it. That's the report.
And thank you very much. As far as foundation met in January. I did not attend the meeting, but have spoken with Katea Sim and just have a couple updates. One, we did receive a gift of $1 million from a former faculty member, which is wonderful. As you know, any money we get into the foundation is great. A gift of $1 million is extremely significant. So we trust that the board there will make use, good use of that gift back to the university in some way. So that's excellent news. Two other events that we'd like to draw attention to. April 3rd, we have the Essence of an Angel scholarship luncheon, which we're going to honor amongst others, but our resident student trustee, Ms. Kerr, nice work on that. Congratulations. Thank proud you. To have you. That's just excellent, amongst many others. And the other, which is down the road, but is always a key event for the foundation, as you know, is the big event on the 15th of September. We're going to honor Don Thompson this year. As you know, Don Thompson is president McDonald's U.S. He's just a fantastic person in the community. He's a guy I've got to know over the years and really look up to. I don't know that there's many people we can honor that actually are better fitting for this than Don, just because he's still in the position to do so much good, not only at you know, the largest corporation in terms of marketing in the world, but certainly here in Chicago. So I would encourage everybody to keep that date, September 15th, on the calendar. Also, bring your checkbooks with you. We'd love to have as many donations to the foundation on that night as humanly possible. Again, all that money comes back to the school in some form or fashion. So please keep those two things in mind. That was the only action we had at the foundation. Student trustee.
Good afternoon. All right. We've already discussed certain issues with Moodle this morning. That was basically concerning the power outages or scheduled power outages. So we'll get on to the good news, since we do have a lot of good news. First of all, Student Government Association is very, very honored and pleased to announce that our very own Illinois Board of Higher Education student representative, Mr. David Anderson, was chosen by the Illinois Board of Higher Education's Board of Trustees to sit on their Board of Trustees. So as the one student representative for the whole state of Illinois. So we are incredibly, incredibly proud of that. You know, Chicago State University is looking pretty good. also, short little quick things before I get into what we really want to talk about.
As we know, Chicago State University is a very family-friendly environment. We hold events where children and families are welcome. We also have a very large demographic of students and faculty who are parents. There are many events and occasions where it is not uncommon to see children dining with their parents in the cafeteria. It was brought to my attention that neither one of the bathrooms in the Student Union Building, which is the most trafficked and the central location on campus, has a changing station for parents who might have a little one in tow. So a few students asked if that was something I could bring to the attention of the board, that if possibly in the future some changing tables could be added to at least the main floor of the bathrooms in the rotunda for male and female, because we do have single and parents of, you know, both. So that's just a small thing. Also, Student Government Association, our Spring Fling event is coming up, and we have an event on April 14th called Lobby Day. And what we're asking is, we're asking administrators, deans, department chairs, faculty, we're targeting political science, criminal justice, business, but we would like to get the word out to everybody on campus that we need student participation. Our goal is to get students to go to Springfield and to petition to keep the MAP grant intact. And also, if we have enough people, maybe we can have a voice when it comes to also petitioning for the funds, this additional $25 million that is supposedly supposed to be allocated to our school. We're trying to try a different, more proactive approach with the students, opposed to just sitting and, as usual, well, they're not going to give us our money again. So we have letters that we are going to flood everyone's CSU email account with, and we ask that you all read these letters and assist us in some way, shape, or form, even if it's pertinent to a class or something like that. Maybe extra credit can be offered for students who participate so that we can get a better turnout in this lobby day that we're trying to do for Student Government Association. So that's really my report. I don't have a lot to report on. And one side note, one of our professors here, Professor Ifa Tunji from the CMAT department, his daughter is a front runner on American Idol. And we're happy for that too. So those are pretty much the items that we saw fit to bring to the table. And her name is Naima. But yeah, that's it. And thank you for bearing with my sneezing and coughing up here.
Thanks, Trustee Kerr.
Thank you.
Congratulations again. We're proud of the work that you do. We know that this is a double duty for you. You're also a student, so we're proud of what you've accomplished here as well as in the classroom. So it's a pleasure for us to have you on this board. Is there a motion to convene an executive session?
I move, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second?
Second.
So properly moved and second.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes. I keep popping my coffee. I'm like, yeah. Yes.
And this one came
Trish.
Yes, definitely.
We need a roll call.
And I like the picture of water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Of water.
Oh, no, up on the, where the coffee is. Instead of the water bottles, you can pour yourself water, which is nice. People still kind of choose it.
Go ahead, yeah. Right.
Very nice.
You say we can.
I don't know, I think you have
to. Oh, okay.
You got that, you didn't.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Here.
Trustee Kerr? Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
She's here. Oh. She just walked in.
We good? Welcome back. There was one action item in executive session. The discussion is ongoing. There was no action taken in executive session, so there's no action needed to be taken in open session. So with that, we will move to public employee comments. Dr. Beverly, you know the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Clarence, you got me back there. Philip Beverly, HPPS. My standard three issues that I bang on about, one, I know I'm going to sound like a homer here. I am so proud of the women's basketball team. You just don't know. Everybody I talk to, I call and say, you know, we won. This is the best season they've ever had. The downside of that isn't with them as much as it is, when are we going to get some positive coverage of the good things that we do here?
Oh, yeah.
Right. My dad sent me a text. Look at the Tribune, there's a story about the men's team. I know they're 6-25, and I'm like, but where's the women's team mentioned there? And how do we get that free press for the university in a good way? Because we gotta not reinforce that we're always struggling around something. We can show that we win at some things. I hope that their success doesn't generate any Title IX issues, especially with coaches' contracts. I believe there's some disparity between men and women's coaches here. I could be wrong on that, but I hope we don't get dinged on that. It was really interesting, and I don't know, synchronicity. The CDC has declared March to be the Traumatic Brain Injury Awareness Month. And that we were talking about concussions this morning, I think is very timely, and glad that we've progressed on the NCAA mandated concussion plan. Around athletics, but not exactly athletics, was my emergency management, one of my emergency management hits for this quarter, and that was the, I was curious about the use of the emergency notification system for the basketball announcements. What hit me, because it was like 11 o'clock and I get a text on the emergency management notification system, I immediately, as a professional emergency manager, now certified by the state, got a little antsy, like, uh-oh, something's happened, because that's what we use it for. And that was, you know, I had all kinds of, like, Vatech stuff running through my head. And I hope we don't reduce the effectiveness of that system, given how important it is. And everybody who's done after action stuff at any of the campus shootings says that you have to have a good notification system. And I think we've got one. I just think we have to manage that appropriately. I've got some very early preliminary findings on a campus-wide emergency management survey that showed four areas of concern. One is the limited knowledge of the university emergency operations plan by folks on campus. So us having a plan that gets submitted to all the agencies that it needs to be submitted to, as was reported to this board, is great. And not so great if nobody on campus knows about it, because we're the ones responsible for its actual implementation. Second, faculty and staff have not participated in exercises to test or improve the plan. And that's always going to be distressing. And third, there was a pretty low level of confidence in the university's preparedness. Not that the university isn't thinking about it as much as the people who are being surveyed don't feel like they've been involved in it. So it seems to be an us-them divide. Well, maybe they've got it figured out, but we sure don't know about it. And then finally, there was some misunderstanding about our speaker system. People believe that when they hear it, it means get out of the building, because they can't always understand what's being said. They know there's some words being said over the speakers, but they can't get the message. And the message might be shelter in place, there's chlorine gas blowing across campus, don't move, and then we run them out into chlorine gas. Those problems can really be fixed pretty easily if you have a Homeland Security exercise education program at your institution. The third thing around emergency management that's just sort of forward thinking around the exercises is there's a national level exercise that the state of Illinois is participating in May that I may have an opportunity to be an evaluator on, that is about the earthquake along the New Madrid fault line. And I don't know if you know, the New Madrid fault line is the fault line that has generated the strongest earthquake continentally in North America in sort of recorded history. We worry about California because it's on the rim of fire, but the New Madrid line is likely to create more damage to us. the pessimistic estimates are that Memphis goes away on an 8.0. And Japan has already had a 9.0, so it's not out of the realm of possibility that really serious earthquakes happen. Now, Chicago would be indirectly affected, but what I think we should have learned from Katrina was when there's a disaster of that magnitude, there's going to be all kinds of displacement. And for those of you who weren't here when Katrina happened, we took in students from Katrina, from some of the universities in New Orleans and in the Gulf, to continue their education because they obviously couldn't continue. That was just sort of a haphazard, let's see what we can do to make that happen. I would hope that something that would be, and I can guarantee you, would be more serious as New Madrid. We need to really plan for that. And I don't know if we've sort of decided what kind of commitment we'll have to that. Maybe our plan is we don't take anybody. We don't have the resources, we don't have the infrastructure, we need to take care of ourselves. Or we can take X number of students, or are we going to have faculty sharing agreement? There's a lot of sort of curricular things around that and infrastructure things that maybe we need to talk about. And finally, shared governance. The thing that has come out of the Shared Governance Committee and has been talked about at the Senate is a very grave concern on the part of faculty about the absence of search committees for positions of dean and above. In some conversations that I had with someone at the Human Resources Department of U of I asked them, were they under some sort of state guidelines of how they had to do search committees and that? And she said, well, I don't know about state guidelines, but we operate under federal mandates that say we need to have search committees because of the amount of federal funding we get through our grant process. And so as we seek to increase the amount of our grant funding, I don't want us to sort of inadvertently stumble into a similar situation with the feds where they go, oh, you weren't doing search committees. Well, now there's some penalty associated with that. And that is just the concern. I have no idea what any of that means. This is just sort of on the very much on the outside looking in. They don't seem to be happening. And faculty are concerned about that. The other reason they're concerned about that isn't about outcomes. And one that came up was the pharmacy dean. There was no question about the outcome of the appointment. Faculty who sort of know anything about College of Pharmacy said, oh, well, that's great. And then they had equal concern about, well, how did we get from interim appointment to permanent appointment without a search process? Because it's process. And if we don't engage in process, flawed processes lead to flawed outcomes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Beverly. Always enlightening. Any other public comments? If not, then I move that we adjourn.
So moved. So second.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Trustee Tolliver. Excuse me, I'm so sorry.
You weren't here.
No, absolutely not.
The partnership to remain.